Now come to order. Members may indicate their presence by voting.
There are 20 members present.
Prayer by the chaplain, Pastor Robert McMahon.
On this Ash Wednesday, O God, we pray that you will direct our minds to your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to capture his vision of goodness and truth and love. Enable us to take that spirit of his into our daily round of affairs. Through him, may we live life in a new dimension. And through lives transformed by him, may our world find its way to truth and peace. Grant your special blessing on this day and upon all within these walls. Amen.
Senate standing. Senate come to order. Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 51st legislative day.
Senator Cotulla.
No, this is a correction. I move not to ask consent. The journal be approved
today. Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal. Without objection, journal certified. Introduction of guests. Senator Ziegler. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, in the far gallery, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce a constituent of mine and a woman who has long been active in the last public affairs, someone that probably needs no introduction to the Senate, Mrs. Karen Hedlund.
Further introductions? Senator Huber.
Mr. President, in the gallery directly behind the Minister of Fairbanks, Mr. and Mrs. Worrell, and of course they are well known for the Christian.
Further introductions? Messages from the governor.
March 3rd, dear Mr. President, I have read the following resolution and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copy to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Concurrent Resolution number 95. March 3rd, dear Mr. President, I am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies of the following bills to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for House Bill number 550, amended Senate, Chapter 10, Session Laws, 1976. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 233, Chapter 11, Session Laws, 1976. There are no further letters from the Governor.
Messages from the House.
March 2nd, the House has rescinded its action in failing to adopt the Senate amendment to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 64, Public Employees Retirement System, namely Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 64, thereby adopting same. March 2nd, the House has passed Senate Bill 198 amended, refund to retailers of a portion of the purchase price paid by them for intoxicating liquors which represent excise tax paid to the state by the wholesaler. It is returned herewith. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The House has passed the following bills. House Bill 487 by Representatives Kelly, Helen Byrne, Ida, McKinnon, Parr, and Sullivan, entitled An Act Relating to Foster Home Care and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, and Social Services, Finance.
House Bill number 686 by Representative Gardner and Freeman, entitled An Act Relating to the Legalization of Rain Classics.
State Affairs.
There are no further messages from the House.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Reports. Senator Ferguson?
We have
Senate Standard 8. Senate come to order. Communications?
There are no communications today.
Reports of standing committees?
State Affairs Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution 14 relating to the beginning of the term of office of the governor. The majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Huber, chairman, who had no recommendation. Senators Miller, Meland, and Coletta signed do pass. There is a further referral to judiciary. State Affairs Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution 44 requesting the closing of the Blair Lakes bombing and gunnery range. Two members of the committee recommend it be replaced with a committee substitute, and that the committee substitute do pass. The report is signed by Senator Huber, chairman, and concurred in by Senator Meland, both signing do pass. Senators Miller and Coletta sign no recommendation. There's a further referral to resources. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 157, Public Employment Relations Act, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and the committee substitute do pass. Senator Huber, chairman, signed no recommendation. Senators Miller, Meland, and Coletta signed do pass. There's a further referral to labor and management. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 524 relating to lay members on boards and commissions. Two members of the committee recommend it be replaced with a committee substitute, and the committee substitute do pass. The report is signed by Senator Huber, chairman, and Senator Meland, both signing do pass. Senators Miller and Coletta sign no recommendation. There's a further referral to Commerce. The Finance Committee considered House Bill 760 amended relating to the Executive Budget Act. The committee recommends it do pass. This report is signed by Senator Ray, chairman, concurring by Senators Butrovich, Rader, Chance, Sackett, Ferguson, and Poland. There's no further referral.
Rules.
I have no further standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
The Joint Gas Pipeline Impact Committee sent a letter of transmittal along with the interim report dated February 27.
Senator Rader.
President, I'd like to move that we waive the reading of the letter and report, and that the letter report be inserted in supplemental journal.
Senator Rader moves and asks unanimous consent that the report be included in the supplementary journal without objection. Supplementary journal. Further reports of special committee?
There are no further reports.
Introduction of resolutions.
Senate concurrent resolution number 86 by all members of the Senate honoring George Atla for winning his sixth Burr Round Dubuque championship.
Senator Curtillo.
President, I move
to ask unanimous consent. Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate concurrent resolution 86 be made a special order of business at this time. Without objection, we have before us Senate Concurrent Resolution 86.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 86 by all members of the Senate honoring George Atla for winning his sixth Burr Rendezvous championship. Be it resolved by the legislature of the state of Alaska, whereas the Fur Rendezvous World Championship Sled Dog Race is the demanding test of a sled dog racing skill, and whereas only mushers who are highly proficient in selecting, training, and driving a team of dogs can expect to finish in the top five positions, and whereas George Atla on February 22nd won his sixth victory in the annual Fur Rendezvous World Championship Sled Dog Race, and whereas George Atla won the race in spite of having undergone surgery only 2 months before the race, be it resolved by the Alaska State Legislature that it expresses its collective respect and congratulations to George Atla for attaining this remarkable achievement.
Further discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote. The question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 86 pass the Senate? As many as favor say aye.
Aye.
As many as opposed, no. The ayes have it. 86 has passed the Senate. Further introduction of resolution.
Senate concurrent resolution number 87 by all members of the Senate honoring Roxy Brooks for her fourth consecutive victory in the Women's World Sled Dog Race.
Senator Curtillo.
Is this a
it on the board, clerk.
We'll read it second. Senator Katula?
President, I move to ask unanimous consent, Senate conversion resolution 87 be taken up as special order business at this time.
Senator Katula moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate concurrent resolution 87 be made a special order of business at this time. Without objection, we have before us Senate concurrent resolution 87.
Senate concurrent resolution number 87, honoring Roxy Brooks for her fourth consecutive victory in the Women's World Sled Dog Race. Be it resolved by the legislature of the state of Alaska, whereas on February 15th, Roxy Brooks of Fairbanks won the Women's World Sled Dog Race Championship at the annual Fur Rendezvous in Anchorage. And whereas this was Mrs. Brooks' fourth consecutive championship, and whereas no other woman has ever won four consecutive Women's World Sled Dog Race Championships, and whereas Mrs. Brooks is also the defending Women North American Sled Dog Race Champion, be it resolved by the Alaska State Legislature that it wishes to express its collective respect and congratulations to Roxy Brooks for her attainments in sled dog racing competition.
Your discussion? You ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate concurrent resolution 87 pass the Senate? As many as favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. The ayes have it. Resolution 87 has passed the Senate. Further introduction of resolution?
Senate concurrent resolution 88 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee relating to the Public School Foundation Program.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
There are no further resolutions.
Senate stand at ease. Senate will come to order. Introduction of Senate bill.
Senate bill number 689 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. Entitled.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Senator Rader?
I wasn't going to interrupt you, Mr. President, but as long as you are interrupted, may I have the...
You have the floor.
Mr. President, we have a distinguished member of the bar who is a senior member of a distinguished law firm from Anchorage, and as I recall, a past member of the Territorial House of Representatives, Paul Robinson.
Senator Sackett?
I'd like to introduce a former constituent who is now living in Fairbanks, a friend of mine, Gary Smith.
Senator Sagan?
With them, I don't know if he's been introduced before, as a former Deputy Commissioner of Labor and now with the Teamsters Union, Leo Brown.
Further introductions? Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 689 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Relating to a Fisheries Enhancement Loan Program and Providing for an Effective Date.
Commerce, Resources.
Senate Bill number 690 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, entitled An Act Creating the Regional Resource Center Areas and Boards, Prescribing their Organization, Powers, and Duties, and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
There are no further bills.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. We have before us Senate concurrent resolution 83.
Committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 83 by the Resources Committee, supporting the Governor's position for a delay in offshore lease sales for the Gulf of Alaska. The Resources Committee has had this bill. I'm sorry, I should have read that as a Senate concurrent resolution 83. The Resources Committee has had Senate concurrent resolution 83 and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution 83, and that the committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Poland, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Mielen, Croft, and Butrovich.
Senator Miller? Senator Miller moves the adoption of the resource committee substitute. You have the floor, Senator Miller.
President, the Senate Resources Committee referred to the administration on wording and added very wisely a paragraph regarding the inadequacy of the federal program in this area and request that the governor seek improvements to those federal programs. I'd ask unanimous.
Senator Miller, I ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Resource Committee substitute. Is there objection? Without objection, Resource Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 83 by the Resources Committee supporting the governor's position for a delay in offshore lease sales for the Gulf of Alaska. I have an amendment by Senator Ray. Page 1, line 25 and 26, delete. In the forthcoming proposed Gulf of Alaska lease sale.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move for the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Ray moves the adoption of amendment number 1. You have the floor, Senator.
Well, after reading this resolved portion, I find that the wording there is unnecessary, and it also makes it confusing as to what would we litigate during the to protect the state's interest in the forthcoming proposed Gulf of Alaska lease sale. In other words, during the time of the sale or during the time of the whatever. I think that by taking out what I have suggested there, it makes it very clear, because we already are speaking to the matter earlier there in the same section by says with the governor of Alaska considering the necessity for the delay in offshore lease sales to Gulf of Alaska.
Senator Ray asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 1. Is there objection? Without objection, amendment number 1 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
No.
Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, I recognize both time for amendment. We are stating our concern and our interest in government position and our commendation of it. Seems to me, and I would hope, although it's not fighting this bill, this resolution upon passage would be sent to some appropriate agencies, not just to the governor.
Are there further amendments? Further discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate concurrent resolution 83 pass the Senate? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
Many as opposed, no. The ayes have it. Resolution 83 is passed the Senate. Have before us in second reading Senate Bill 552.
Senate Bill number 552 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Relating to Teachers' Retirement and Providing for an Effective Date. The Finance Committee had this bill and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Butkovich, Rader, Chance, Poland, and Ferguson. I have no amendments.
Senator Cotillo.
President, absent spending amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent to Senate Bill 552 be considered in gross advance with reading place upon the map.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 552 be advanced from second to third reading and placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 552.
Senate Bill number 552, an act relating to teachers' retirement and providing for an effective date.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, this is really, although it looks quite formidable, it's actually good for housekeeping measures. What it does is it modifies the existing statutes concerning retirement age, determination of disability of teachers, and also adds the new sections that concern the direction of erroneous payments and legislative intent and later amendments. Section 1 of the bill repeals and reenacts AS 1425-040, which presently limits membership in the teachers' retirement system to teachers who can meet minimum vesting requirements by their 65th birthday. The bill removes this limitation and requires that any teacher member be a participant in the system. The amendment thereby removes a potential age discrimination clause that compels membership. If the teacher does not meet the minimum vesting requirements for the retirement, then he or she may recover any accrued employee contributions. Section 2 of the bill is a technical amendment and it leaves reference to examinations after a specific age 65, which the words or psychiatrist are dropped, and because reference to a physician includes psychiatrists. Item 3 clarifies the date on which disability retirement benefits cease and termination date set at the first of each month has proved unsatisfactory, as inviting an overly literal interpretation of the requirement. Section 4 of the bill adds two new sections to AS 1425. First edition gives notice to participants of the methods of correcting errors in payment. And the section requires that upon discovery of an error, directives or errors shall be corrected when payments made. This requirement also is further notice of the state's right to collect their own interest paid funds. On the other hand, if a person is underpaid, he or she or a beneficiary entitled to the amount due even though benefit payments have ceased. The second new section provides that all future amendments to the teacher retirement system are to be prospective and effective unless the statutory amendment expressly declares otherwise. Section 5 repeals the compulsory retirement provisions in the teacher retirement system for reasons of potential age discrimination. And this section measures with similar deletions in sections 1, 2, and 3 of the bill.
Senator Moore.
Chairman, I'm curious, can we why we deleted the requirement for a mental examination by a competent psychiatrist. An individual can be retired prematurely for mental reasons. And one of the reasons, one of the checks we have is a periodic examination to see if perhaps the individual is recovered and can go back to work. I'm just wondering why, seems to me, a psychiatrist would be more capable of performing that examination than a physician.
Senator Ray?
Well, this is the governor's bill, and the administration felt that they wanted to drop the words for psychiatrist because you can have a mental examination by a psychiatrist under the physician classification.
Senator Ryder?
Mr. President, it's redundant. A psychiatrist is a physician.
Right. Further discussion? Ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate Bill 552 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 20 yeas and no nays.
Senator Katula. Senator Katula moves and asks unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered to vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, Senate Bill 552, an effective date clause, passed the Senate. We have before us House Concurrent Resolution 87.
Sponsor substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 87 by Representatives Sullivan, Bradley, Cotton, Bruning, Rudd, Specking, and Kelly, congratulating Lone E. Jansen. The Rules Committee had this report, recommends it be placed in the calendar.
Further discussion? Ready to vote? The question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution Number 87 pass the Senate? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Concurrent Resolution Number 87 has passed the Senate. Have before us in second reading, House Bill 143.
Committee substitute for House Bill 143 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the regulation of post-secondary educational institutions and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee had this bill and recommends it be passed. The report was signed by Senator Holman, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Ferguson, Coletta, Bradley, and Chance. The Finance Committee had this bill and recommends it back as follows. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senators Butrovich and Poland and Rader, signed no recommendation. Senators Ferguson and Chance signed do pass, and there was a letter of intent with the Finance Committee report. We have amendment number one by Senator Huber. On page 19, between line 18 and 19, insert. I'm sorry. We are on the committee substitute.
Senator Gattula?
This committee substitute is the House committee substitute, isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Secretary, read the amendment.
On page 19, between line 18 and 19, insert, then renumber existing sections 2 to 5 of the bill accordingly. Section 2, AS 14, 40, 909, B5, is amended to read 5. Administer the provisions of AS 1448, 1447, is taken out. Regulation of post-secondary educational institutions.
Senator Huber. Senator Huber moves next unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one. You have the, there has been an objection. You have the floor, Senator Huber.
Mr. President, the amendment is in accordance with the material that's been distributed to every desk at the meeting this morning. It was complex to recall yesterday, and I tried to get the information to the majority of you. I thought sure it was delivered to you this morning. Can we have a moment, please?
Senator Standard 8. Senator Ray?
Mr. President, my objection was that I didn't have the opportunity to place this in order at this particular time. Now that I see that it is appropriate, I would withdraw my objection first and enjoy it.
Senator Ray withdraws his objection. Is there further objection to the adoption of amendment number one? Without objection, then, amendment number one is adopted. Are there further amendments?
Amendment number two by Senator Orsini, page 3, line 21. Before undergraduate, insert accredited.
Senator Orsini? Senator Orsini moves the adoption of amendment number two. You have the floor, Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, my intention here, as long as we're talking about basically the current time, Sheldon Jackson and AMU, as long as these institutions are formally accredited by the association that does higher educational accrediting, I think that's a good section of the bill. If at some time in the future these institutions were for some reason not accredited, I think at that time that the post-secondary education commission oversee these institutions. As these institutions are currently existing, there's no change in the law.
Senator Curtilla?
A bit curious, Jan, I'd like to hear the amendment read, to an explanation of the purpose of it.
Secretary, I'll reread the amendment.
Page 3, line 21, before undergraduate, insert accredited.
Senator Orsini?
Again, Mr. President, if an institution is accredited, a higher education institution is accredited, then then under this bill, it would be exempt from the post-secondary higher educational commission. Under my amendment, if an institution was no longer accredited, that is, in this case, Sheldon Jackson and AMU, if they were no longer accredited, then they would no longer be exempt.
Senator Gattula?
I don't know if this bill goes into the accreditations. You can have a mission school accredited by a group of missions, and if you have a college, you can have various accreditations. And I don't think that we ought to include this here at this time. I don't think we ought to involve ourselves in accrediting it. But if you need a separate piece of legislation later, if there's something that's wrong with these two institutions in the time of the future, maybe we add it in. I oppose the amendment just because it comes such a particular time without any backup from the committee.
Senator Sagan?
Yes,
Senator Standard East.
Mr. President, my intention was that there is an institution that formally accredits colleges, and nobody seems to know the exact name of that institution. I would ask this time that my amendment be withdrawn, and my intent is to reconsider the bill and close the amendment tomorrow.
Senator Rossini moves and asks unanimous consent that amendment number 2 be withdrawn without objection. Amendment number 2 is withdrawn. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Curtola.
Mr. President, for no further amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent that may substitute for House Bill 143 be considered and brought to pass, third reading, place upon passage.
Senator Curtola moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 143 be advanced from second to third reading, placed before you on final passage. Without objection. For us in third reading, House Bill 143.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 143, amended by the Senate, an act relating to the regulation of post-secondary educational institutions and providing for an effective date.
Is there a discussion? Senator Wright.
Mr. President, briefly, this is to prevent the establishment of school mills within the state of Alaska. There was a fiscal mill attached.
Further discussion? Senator Curtola.
I'm just curious why we really need this at this time. There's no one or two Bible colleges as opposed to maybe a commander.
Further, Senator Huber.
One more question. That's well and good, but for instance, what's being engaged in here? A general statement on this. Is there a school being established in Fairbanks now that's granting diplomas for writing in and sending $10, or what is it?
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, as the Senate's member on the post-secondary commission, I can answer those questions. As many members are familiar, the state law, and there has been no state law in this area with regard to persons outside the state of Alaska soliciting people for courses, diplomas, colleges, universities, what have you. The Attorney General has attempted to enforce consumer type problems under the various criminal statutes and has in some cases been successful. I mean, more cases there have been less than either criminal intent or provable criminal intent. So there would have been no way of stopping those people from outside the state from booking Alaska residents with phony diplomas, phony college courses, etc. This legislation is not unique. It exists in most other states. We haven't had one. It's been very difficult for the Attorney General to restrict or prohibit any activity that might be harmful to Alaska citizens in terms of phony educational offers. This is a modest step towards that objective and has many exemptions that will not adversely affect any existing institutions in the state of Alaska.
Senator Wright.
Mr. President, through the chair, I would respectfully request the Senator Bernard to maybe go in just a little bit farther and establish the fact of the Windlewoods or the Wallace College at Barrow and the association with the University of Southern California.
Mr. President, I appreciate the concern of the Senator from Clutchwan for higher education in Alaska and the being new innovative programs which come into existence. I doubt that this would have any effect whatsoever. In fact, I'm certain it would have no effect, as the good senator knows, since these are institutions of longstanding. They offer no phony courses. They have professors, they have courses, they have curriculum. They meet the requirements of this bill. I do appreciate the senator's concern in this area, though.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, what I was trying to do was to provide information for the esteemed majority leader, and somehow the senator from Spinard mistook my intentions, and so I wish he'd either apologize or not be so precipitous.
Mr. President, I have never mistook the senator from Pluckwan's intentions.
Further discussion? Grayson, you ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate House Bill 143 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary, I lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 20 yeas and no nays.
Senator Curtillo?
President, I move and ask consent to vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent to vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, House Bill 143 is an effective date clause. Senator Curtillo?
President, privilege your comment. We just wiped out the Rhodey Spinard Knight Law School and School for Diet.
Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, I have a certain amount of my reconsideration of the new substitute House Bill 143.
Senator Orsini's notice of reconsideration will be noted in the journal. We have before us in second reading House Bill 524.
House Bill number 524 by Representative Hackney. An act relating to the practice of podiatry and providing for an effective date.
Senator Curtillo.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has had House Bill 524, and they recommend it be passed with an amendment. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Bradley and Chance. Amendment number 1, page 1, line 24. Substitute the period after section with the comma and add, and shall be issued a license without examination if application is made within 1 year of the effective date of this act.
Senator Chance?
I would move the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Chance moves the adoption of amendment number 1.
In committee, as we were discussing this with the Department of Commerce, it was pointed out that the podiatrists currently practicing in the state are grandfathered in. However, on page 2, it does require that the state medical board shall call to its aid a licensed podiatrist to consider the license applications for any new podiatrist. So unless one of those was actually issued a license by this amendment, they would not be able to issue in future licenses, so the Department of Commerce suggests that
language
be added. I'd ask unanimous consent.
Senator Chance asks unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Is there objection? Without objection, Amendment Number 1 is adopted.
There are no further amendments.
Senator Curtillo?
Information, Mr. President, I checked with the author and into the matter slightly, and will not offer an amendment on this bill as I asked yesterday. So I move and ask consent to House Bill 524, considering gross past third reading, place of compass.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 524 be advanced from second to third reading, place before you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 524.
House Bill number 524, an act relating to the practice of podiatry and providing for an effective date.
Your discussion, Senator Curtillo.
I just have a question. Why are we putting podiatrists under the state medical board? I do know that they practice to some extent medicine in a very limited area, and maybe they should be under the state medical board for licensing. But and I know there is a requirement here, obviously, that the podiatrist should be brought in the license consideration. But Really, why don't we have a separate board for that?
Senator Chance?
According to testimony before the Health Education and Social Services Committee, there are about 20 podiatrists in the state. Currently, their only license is a business license, and yet they do prescribe medicines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so the proposed solution was to provide for a medical license, since they are dealing with medical aspects.
Senator Ray?
Through the chair, to Senator Chance, I suppose this does cover chiropodists. Does it?
Senator Chance?
It's my understanding that chiropodists are already covered under medical licensing.
Senator Poland, and then Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would like to ask a question of the majority leader, through the chair. Yesterday, this bill was, we were asked to hold it over until the malpractice bill went through, and we didn't have malpractice, but we had the podiatrist back with us.
Senator Katula?
Yes, an answer. Yes. I really didn't ask it to be held over until the malpractice bill went through. Understood that this would, podiatrists would be affected by the Malpractice Act. The author felt that they should be. They performed certain surgery and so on, and that they should be involved in malpractice, and he requested that they remain in, and I have no objection to that. There are very few podiatrists, and I suspect there will probably be yet fewer after we put them out of the state
medical board. Senator Rader?
I'm rather interested in the practice situation. They're prescribing medicines and performing surgery. Tell me what kind of medicine and what kind of surgery they perform. I know.
Senator Chant?
Bearing toenails or what?
I really didn't ask that question in committee, but I assume that if they're performing surgery, it would be surgery on the feet. And I don't know what type of medications they are prescribed.
They're practicing medicine then, Mr. Senator. They're not practicing, they ought to be prosecuted for practicing medicine without a license. That's what they're doing for happy.
Senator Chance?
Previously, the podiatrists have specifically been excluded from the sanctions against practicing medicine. The statutes just excluded them previously.
Senator Katula?
I've been told from checking into this, I am embarrassed having such little background in this area, but they say that they do x-rays below the knee, don't affect the knee. That they do indeed do some orthopedic work. And of course, they take care of the common ailments of the foot by lancing and taking care of bunions and that sort of thing. They also do apparently occasionally real surgical technique when it comes to one of the bones within the foot itself needing removal, etc. They have an expertise in this area. I myself am concerned that they do actually practice medicine, and I would be very careful to perhaps to, about my having them perform surgery on me in person. They do just exactly that on the foot.
Senator Ryder?
Well, if they're actually practicing medicine, and they haven't taken the medical examination, why are we admitting 20 of them to practice in the state because they practiced before without proving their competency? This is part of the malpractice problem, is the people practicing medicine perhaps on occasion who aren't properly qualified. If they're actually doing these things, should they have to take the tests and prove their qualifications from the point of view of protecting the public and also from the point of view of making sense out of the malpractice?
Senator Ryan and Senator Martin.
I'd like to call attention to also they use, they can, thank you. I'm trying to be smart. The surgical treatment of the foot, the muscles and tendons of the leg, given the function of the foot, and here they leave the foot entirely and jump up to your hand. It's a superficial lesions of the hand other than those associated with trauma. So you got a hand and foot doctor.
Yeah. Senator Miller?
I think Senator Rader raised a good point. It is my understanding, however, that we may have solved that problem in earlier legislation which passed the Senate, which gives the state medical board authority to review the different areas of expertise of the physicians to determine that they purview and can say you can operate in this area, but you can't do this. I mean, they practice medicine here, but not there. I
that would give the board the kind of regulatory authority about which you're speaking. I forget the number of the bill that passed about 2 minutes ago.
Senator Tulip?
Mr. President, and it's my fault as much as anyone's, I think perhaps we ought to hold this over here. I have been given testimony that people have a residency in podiatry, that they have to go through a residency as well as go through the school. And it's one of those little areas of medical practice, really, that's been allowed. It's a limited medical practice in this area. It's been allowed over the years. It's a historic thing in the United States and elsewhere. And I think that the new fellows coming in that would be properly trained and have all the background necessary probably deserve licensing. But I'm uncertain about it, and I'm embarrassed not to further have checked into it. I did check with the author, and he gave me everything he had on the subject, and I only checked in regard to the malpractice situation. I think I would ask, ask consent Hospital 524 be held over till Friday's calendar.
Senator Tulip moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 524 be held in third reading until Friday's calendar. Without objection. House Bill 524 will appear in third reading on Friday's calendar. That concludes today's calendar. Brings us down to unfinished business. Special orders. Senator Chant.
I would like to share with the five moving unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Communication I received from a constituent, a beautifully engraved announcement that says, your government regrets to inform you that your subversive activities have been reported and are being investigated. At a time when we are struggling to hold the line on inflation, your continued spending on such luxury items as food and shelter cannot be tolerated.
Further special orders?
Here.
Announcement of committee meetings? Senator Pullen.
Mr. President, Senate Resources will meet today at 1:30 to take up sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 335, and we will also take a look at Senate Bill 565.
Senator Ray.
The Finance Committee Subcommittee on Social Services will finish up that category this afternoon, and we'll meet in full committee tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and tomorrow afternoon at 2, we will take up the public hearings, the general government category.
Further announcements? Senator Cartula.
I have a most peculiar announcement here. It says on Monday, March 3rd at 1:30 p.m., Senate Task Committee will review 652, 653, and 654. Presume to mean on March 3rd. Labor Management Committee at 9 a.m. Thursday. Senate bills will be posted. Commerce today at 1:30. Bills will be posted. And Senate Judiciary will meet 9:15 Thursday morning. All members who can make it to discuss the substitution of generic drug bills will be meeting in Committee Room 5. There's no further action to come before this body. Mr. President, we'll ask unanimous consent to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Senator Cartula, Senate stand at ease. Senator Cartula.
Mr. President, I withdraw that motion. I ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, the motion is withdrawn.
Mr. President, Jim Duncan, Democrat of Juneau, will be guest speaker at this week's Democratic Legislative Luncheon, noon Wednesday, Capitol in the Baranoff. Everyone's invited. Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent. We recess for the introduction of bills purposes. Ask the minority leader to be there. That's still 4 p.m. today.
Senator Cartula moves and asks unanimous consent. The Senate stand in recess until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Without objection. Senate's in recess. Senator Cartula.
Mr. President, I move and ask consent. We revert to introduction of bills. Or no, committee reports.
Without objection, we'll revert to reports of standing committees.
The Commerce Committee has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 77, Establishment of an Agricultural Policy for the State of Alaska, under consideration, and the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Cartula, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Willis, Bradley, Coletta, and Ziegler. There is no further referral.
Rules.
The Commerce Committee has had Senate Bill 574, authorizing study of causes and potential solutions of high cost of living in Alaska under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Curtula, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Bradley and Coletta. Senators Willis and Ziegler signed no recommendation. There's a further referral to finance. The Commerce Committee has had Senate Bill 580, GO bonds for paying the cost of state highway construction projects under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Curtula, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Willis, Bradley, and Coletta. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation. There is a further referral to finance. The Commerce Committee has had Senate Bill 582, GO bonds for port facilities development and small boat harbor projects under consideration, and the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Curtula, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Willis, Bradley, Coletta, and Ziegler. There is a further referral to finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has had Senate Bill 653, Department of Health and Social Services Philosophy of Treating Children, under consideration, and the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Chance, Bradley, and Coletta. There is no further referral.
Rules.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has had Senate Bill 654, Statewide Coordination for the Delivery of Social Services, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Chance and Bradley. Senator Coletta signed no recommendation. There's no further referral.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move that unanimous consent for Senate Bill 654.
There is a fiscal note of almost $200,000. Without objection, then, Senate Bill 654 will be referred to the Finance Committee.
The Commerce Committee has had Senate Bill 680, relating to seine vessels, under consideration, and reports it back with the following recommendations. Senator Curtula, chairman, and Senator Willis signed do pass. Senators Bradley, Coletta, and Ziegler signed no recommendation. There is a further referral to resources. The Commerce Committee has had Senate Bill 682, winery licenses, under consideration, and reports it back as follows. Senator Curtula, chairman, and Senator Coletta recommend do pass. Senators Willis, Bradley, and Ziegler sign no recommendation. There's no further referral.
Rules.
The Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 564, GO bonds for constructing rural secondary school facilities, under consideration, and the committee recommends it be replaced with Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 564, entitled An Act Providing for the Issuance of General Obligation Bonds in the Amount of $58,935,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of constructing, repairing, equipping, and upgrading school facilities and water reservoirs, and providing for an effective date, and that the committee's Finance Committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ray, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Butrovich, Rader, Poland, Sackett, Ferguson, and Chance. There's no further referral.
Rules.
The Commerce Committee has had Senate Bill 573, Special Appropriation High Cost of Living in Alaska Study, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Curtula, chairman, and concurred in by Senators Bradley and Coletta. Senators Willis and Ziegler signed no recommendation. There is a further referral to finance. And that is the end of the committee reports.
Senator Tittle.
Mr. President, there's no further medicine for the plan of National
Center. Senator Tittle moves and asks unanimous consent. The Senate stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Without objection.